This message was recorded live at the Life Church UK building. We hope that you are truly blessed and encouraged by today's message. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Oh, it's good to be lighthearted at times, folks. I would say, be happy. Amen? My father used to say, be happy. Not happy, still happy. And how good it is when you know how to rejoice in the Lord. The scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And the man saying that is writing it from prison. He wrote the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians and Philemon in his first imprisonment in Rome. And in Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I think that this is something that we need today. We need more joy. And I know that often we wait for the circumstances that make us feel not happy to change, to become happy. But if you can wait for that, you might have to live more than once. You cannot just wait for the circumstances to get better to get happy. You have to just decide, okay, this is it. No matter what, I'm not going to let it rob me. I'm not going to let it overshadow me. I'm going to be happy in the Lord. The Lord is the joy of my life. Jeremiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem when they had been destroyed completely. That looked like an impossible task because those stones were so gigantic and he only had a few men to help him. But he declared to everybody, rejoice. And they were not allowed to be sad. They were commanded to be joyful. And that helped them to finish the task in 54 or 57 days. It's amazing when you rejoice in the Lord, what you can do that you can't do without it. Joy, Nehemiah said, will be your strength. And folks, we cannot allow ourselves to be weakened in life through the trials that we all face. We have to have joy. So this morning, I feel that's the main message that we have for Christmas here. In James chapter 1, verse 17, we've been reading, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, God is consistent in his goodness towards us. He is faithful in the circumstances. Especially do you notice that in times of your greatest needs, but it's always there. The sun is shining, folks, no matter if it's cloudy. The sun is shining. And God is faithful and true in his blessings to you and me. And of course, when we think about Christmas, we think a child is born, a son is given, the government, the authority and dominion is on his shoulders. You got to know where your power comes from to be happy. You got to know where your source is for living. It's in Jesus. The Bible says, Colossians 3, verse 4, he is our life. Paul says in Galatians 2, the life I live is the life of the Son of God in me. His life in me is my life. And folks, there's plenty of life in Jesus. There's plenty of life. He says, I will give you life and it more abundantly. There's plenty of life. And I have seen this life for people at the point of death many times. Just 2 weeks ago, I was with my mama. She's 96. She's really close to wanting to go. I mean, she wants to go to heaven already for a while. But she's just kind of waiting. And she's in the natural, quite sleepy. She even this time looked at me and she said to my sister, Daniela, who's that? It's just me, Mom. But I understood that. It didn't bother me because Daniela, my sister who takes care of her, said, Robert, maybe pray for Mom because her left arm has been hurting. I said, okay. So I walked up to her and the moment I prayed, bam, the power of God hit us both because she lives in that power and it hit us both, and she completely woke up. You should have seen it. All her faculties came alive. All her senses came alive. Oh, it was in heavenly time. And it shows you life that gives life to this mortal flesh. And that is such a great power, friends, that we are given life. And it more abundantly. God's gifts are incredible. And they keep coming like the sunshine from heaven. They keep coming, these gifts. And if we go to Luke chapter 2, please, you see the angels, appearing to the shepherds by night, right? Who were watching their flock. It says here, and there were in the country, in verse 8 of Luke 2, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I think, dear friends, we need to get into a place of living that this would not startle us as such. I'm serious. The Bible talks about joy unspeakable for those who live for the coming of the Lord. And the Bible says in Zechariah, the sign of the sun will be seen in the heavens. And we know we're going to see a big cross in the heavens, a red cross or whatever, but it's the sign of the Son of Man, the cross. And we're going to see it in the heavens. And the Bible says all the people on earth will see it together. It will see it together. Nobody will miss the coming of the Lord for those that are ready and for those that are not ready. For those that are ready, woohoo! How many of you say amen? Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, he is coming. And he is coming again for those that eagerly await him. Praise God for salvation, the Bible says there in Hebrews 9:18. And so I don't think we should be startled. I think I will be startled, though. But at the same time, what a glorious day that would be. And the angel said to them, listen, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Great joy for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So this is my first point today. Do you know that all of heaven has joy, great joy, and there's erupting praise at the throne of God at the thought of your and my salvation. And Jesus teaches us that today, if any sinner repents, all the angels rejoice. And there are sinners repenting all the time, all over the world. And I believe that we're seeing it here. I believe we're going to see more people turning away from their sin in this day, because there's a bit too much sin to go around. And I think the Lord will grant a great refreshing to come from his presence as people begin to turn to him. I am expecting more joy. Oh, heavenly joy. Heavenly joy, but you feel this joy of the Lord. You feel the Lord rejoicing over you. It says in Zephaniah, the Lord has not come to accuse you, but to save you. Oh, what is that that I hear? A choir? No, it is the Lord himself singing over you with a happy song. Zephaniah 3:17-18. The Lord rejoices at our salvation. It is his excitement, friends. And I believe that excitement should live in the church. The church should be a happy place. A happy place where we are laughing together, singing together, rejoicing together. And I'm not just talking about an emotional hype here. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord in the church. That even people who have great sorrow are given joy for mourning, gladness of heart, and that in their tears of loss and grief and sorrow, they are comforted with this incredible joy. I grew up with this. My mama is like this. She always had it. In the days when it wasn't known, holy laughter. And I know that holy laughter can be a bit of an interesting subject because, you know, some people like to mimic it to get the feeling. Okay, so they do it because they want the feeling even when it's not given. And I remember going to a meeting where Ashley was. What's that called again, that city? Brighton. Because I heard about this man from Australia who was having meetings in a hotel and people were laughing. I thought, well, I could do with a bit more laughter. So I drove over there. And I was standing and they somehow, I don't know why, they put me on the front row even though I'd never been there. And I thought Ashley didn't know me. I'd never met him to my knowledge. And he became one of my best friends. And I'm standing there in the front row and these people are on the floor laughing. And okay, I didn't come here to spectate. I didn't come here to analyze. I came here to laugh. I came here to receive. You know, sometimes we miss the boat because we're too analytical. You know, we're analyzing everything. I don't know if that's real or not. And I'm standing there, and this lady, dressed quite unusual, came forward, and I could see she's very conscious, laid down and started kicking her legs up. I thought, okay, that's another scene. And in other words, there were these distracting things trying to distract me. And friends, there are distracting forces that want to distract you from the joy of the Lord, from the gladness that comes from the presence of the Lord. And I'm not saying that lady behaved unseemingly. It just was awkward what she was doing. She was not being rude. Don't misunderstand the point I just made. But it was just awkward to me. And I thought, no, Masbach, don't be distracted. You came here. I need more joy. How many of you could use some more joy? I'm talking about having the Lord fill you up again. Oh, are you so happy? David said in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your generous spirit, Lord. Then I know I will see sinners converted to you. And transgressors taught your way. Then I again will see your goodness in the land of the living. You know, sometimes, folks, we just get on with life because we've learned how to press through, how to endure, how to persevere. And that is such an important characteristic of our faith. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may enjoy the promise. But, folks, it's not just all heart and knock. Press through, stand fast, don't give up, stay in faith. That is part of it. But there is also the relief of the happiness of God. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 25, verse 23 says, thou good and faithful servant, thou have been faithful over little, now enter into the joy of the Lord. You see, there is a reward for those who serve the Lord, for those who are faithful to Him, who hold on to Him when everything maybe makes you feel like, what's it worth? If this is all it is, it's just me enduring, persevering. I've lost the joy of it all. Why should I keep going? Well, because God loves it when we're faithful. He loves it when we're true to Him. He loves it that we hold on to Him because He's worth holding on to. But folks, there comes a time when He says, enter into my joy. Enter into the happiness again. I want your joy restored and renewed. And I was standing there in that meeting in the front, and all of a sudden I opened my eyes and Ashley said to me, are you Robert Masbach? In 1982, I heard you preach in Brisbane. That was ages ago. He said, could you come and say hello? He handed me the microphone, and I took that mic in my hand. The moment I took the mic in my hand, I got baptized with the joy of the Lord. I sincerely could not stop laughing. I tried. Everything was hurting to try to stop myself from laughing. You know, it's amazing how you can be a little bit against happiness. You're against joy. You kind of go, no, I'm not going to be happy anymore. I have every reason to feel bad, and I'm going to feel bad. And the Lord says, stop it. Snap out of it. And he has to snap us out of it sometimes. And he has to restore a spirit of joy to our being, because we've been enduring all this time, and I understand it and respect it. But I want to encourage you today with this word from the Lord. Joy cometh in the morning. David says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. For the Lord is on your side. And if the Lord be for us, and the Lord says, come on, take courage, take courage. I haven't left you alone. I haven't handed you over. I haven't given up on you. You will rejoice. You will see my goodness. You will see my mercy. You will be restored in your strength. You will again put on the garment of praise for the heaviness that you've endured, for the heaviness that you've persevered through, and you haven't yielded to it. You've endured in believing in the invisible, and you will see it become visible in you. Oh, come on, receive the word of the Lord. Joy cometh in the morning. And it's morning. It's time to wake up. Oh, if you would have seen my mama when I started praying with her. She started laughing and laughing and laughing. Why do you think she laughed? Because she felt the presence of the Lord in her flesh. And the Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, when you again feel that upward call, that wonderful life flowing through your flesh, and it renews your youth, it restores your strength, it envisions you to see that with God nothing is impossible. Oh, glory to God, it sure makes all the difference. And there will be joy to all people, says the Lord, for there is a Savior, a Savior. Oh, I believe in a Savior. How about you? I believe in a Savior. Yeah, he's a wonderful Savior. You know, it says in Titus chapter 3, oh, how I love this verse. Verse 4, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Just that little verse. You see, both God and Jesus have the same quality about their person, because they are the same. They are one. And that is their nature, is to save you, to deliver you, to help you, to provide for you, to not just see you through, but to bring you into rich abundance, to bring you into a place where you are not just barely making it through, but where you say, oh my goodness, what can I now say to you for all that you've done for me? I love these verses in the Living Bible where David says, I have told everyone the good news that you forgive man's sins. I've not been timid about it, as you well know, O Lord. I've not kept the good news hidden in my heart, but I have proclaimed your loving kindness and truth to all the congregation. I'm talking about, you can't stop talking about it. I mean, it's just, you can't stop talking about it. You're just so happy. You're so thankful. Why? It's not just you got your answer, but it's the Lord. He is the joy and the rejoicing of my life. David said in Psalm 4, many say, who will show us any good? But Lord, you have put joy in my heart more than they have when they look on their bountiful harvest and new wine. And I will sleep at peace because you are my mighty protector. Oh, I love that verse there in Psalm 4. He says, you've given me more joy than the people who look on their bountiful riches. Oh, friends, don't be deceived. When I get this, then I'll be happy. When I get that, then I'll be happy. No, the Lord is the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And friends, often what God wants from you is that you delight yourself in Him so He can give you the desires of your heart. And you commit the circumstances to Him so He can bring forth your righteousness with Him through it all. That people don't just see you having blessings, but they see your relationship with the Lord. You know, I often think about people that have fallen away from us over the 34 years that we've had the privilege to be pastors here. I think about them. I pray for them. And often I think about it, how I would love for all of them to sit with us on the front row so that I can say to everybody, look what the Lord has done. He's a mighty Savior. He's a wonderful, loving Father. He's a gracious God. And I don't want us as a congregation ever to be like the brother of the prodigal. And I know we can all be like that because what people do in their waywardness can be so grievous and can be so painful and can be so hard to bear and it can leave a scar. But you need to let Jesus heal those scars. Because we want to celebrate with the Heavenly Father when His wayward, lost sons and daughters come home. We want to be a congregation that He knows He can bring people home. He can bring people home. We're to be a home of mercy. We're to be a home of forgiveness. Not say, oh, you finally came then, huh? That is not a welcome. Oh, how dare you come in here after all you've done? That's not forgiveness. That's not our loving Father running towards His prodigal, embracing Him, hugging Him, and kissing Him while He's still dirty, and putting a new robe upon Him and a ring of ownership and new shoes on His feet and preparing the fatted calf in time of famine and having everybody celebrate because Papa's so happy. I want Papa's joy in this house. Because He is our Father, all of us, and none of us deserve to be here. None of us can boast in our righteousness. None of us can boast how good we have been. Can I hear an amen? When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, that has to be the power of this house. I'm serious. The power of this congregation is that we all are saved by being constantly made new inwardly through the Holy Spirit that God gives us graciously, generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that we know it. This life we have is not our own. It is a gift of God. It's the life of the Son of God in us who loved us and gave Himself for us. And that we have this love compelling us constantly to lift our hands in worship and say, oh, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art. For You loved me, You forgave me, You cleansed me, You washed me. And if the devil dares to stick out his ugly attack against you, instantly it comes out of you. I know my Redeemer lives. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior and Defender. You have no authority over me. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You have no charge against me. Instantly the gospel comes out of us. And that which lives in us, we can give it freely. We can give it freely, not just when we're here together, but when we walk through the street. You know, one of the wayward sons some years ago, I saw him in a grocery store. Oh, I prayed for that wayward son. And when I saw him, I couldn't hold myself. It just erupted in me. This is why you got to keep praying for people. You got to pray, Father, thank you for your love for them. Father, thank you for your mercy for them. Thank you for your goodness and forgiveness for them. You got to pray prayers like that. Like that, prayers of blessing, prayers of grace, prayers of mercy. Because whatever you pray, you become. Whatever you pray begins to live in you. And when I saw him in the store, I couldn't help myself. It just erupted in me. And I walked up to him and put my arms around him. I said, oh, I've been so good, looking forward to see you. And instantly he felt Jesus. Don't you know that we are the body of Christ? You want people to meet the Lord? Let them meet him in you and me. Let him meet the Savior, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that takes away all the sin. All the sin. All the sin. Say it. All the sin. Have you suffered the sins of others at times? Has it crushed you? Has it wounded you? Has it robbed you from your joy? Is it burning in you like a fiery dart of the wicked with offense, with irritation? And every time you talk about them, that offense comes out. You need Jesus just as much as they do. I don't know about you. I need Jesus every day to renew me, to restore me, to keep me full of his love. And his kindness and goodness. And there are moments, folks, I'm just as human as any man. I can feel the weakness of my human flesh and its inability to bear. And I quickly run into that secret place of his love. And I worship and pray. And he gives the Holy Spirit generously and renews me with his love, renews me with his goodness and mercy. And I want to charge you today. Live ready. Because we're going to see the goodness of the Lord. It's morning. Joy cometh in the morning. So in closing, in January, I'm starting a new series called I Will. And I just want to read you some of the thoughts I wrote down from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 through 29. God's promise that he fulfills in Jesus in each and every one of our lives is this: I will sprinkle you with clean water. That's the Holy Spirit. The symbol of the Holy Spirit is the dove or is water. I will sprinkle you with clean water. What does that refer to? I will cleanse you by the Holy Spirit with the blood of Jesus. Folks, listen to me. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they'll see God instead of the devil, instead of people's failings, instead of people's shortcomings. If you cannot help yourself, that when you look at certain people, immediately their failings come to your consciousness, their behavior come to your consciousness. And I understand, folks, some behaviors, too much. Because, and that always shows we need more of Jesus. If their weakness is too much, we need more of Jesus. And if you respond that way, then the devil will never be able to have his way. If you go and say, Lord, I need more of you, I can't bear this, it offends me. And sin is offensive, folks. But he was wounded for our offenses. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the punishment due us was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And you go to Jesus and say, Lord, I need more. I need more of you. I need more of you. Amen? And you live ready. So when you look at anybody, that love of Christ is in there. How can I have that? The sprinkling of water. I will sprinkle you with clean water. I will give you a new heart. I will sprinkle you with clean water. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Talking about us being born again. I will put my Holy Spirit within you. You will be my people because I will be your God. I tell you what the Lord will do for you and me is more than we would dare ask, hope, or pray. Now, how many of you say, I want to know your joy, Lord. I want to live in that joy. I want to live in that pleasure. That it pleases you to reveal that saving grace in me of your Holy Spirit renewing me. It pleases you. It makes you happy to see me filled with your joy and your presence. It pleases you. It makes you happy to see my youth restored and that I may rise up above the circumstances like an eagle and that I know in the Spirit the victory is won. 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 Come on, what's been oppressing you? What's been afflicting you? What's been tormenting you? What's been keeping you low? The victory is won. Jesus has done it. The victory is won. Jesus has won it. Come on, lift your hands. The victory is won. The victory is won. Joy cometh in the morning. In His presence is fullness of joy. Joy that will be to all people, for unto you was born this day a Savior. Father, we give you praise. You are a loving Savior, a wonderful Savior. And I thank you, we're going to see your joy fill our hearts, fill our lives, fill our families, fill our homes, fill this church. Oh, I thank you, we're going to see your joy fill the earth, Father. We're going to see your glory as the waters cover the sea, fill the earth. We praise you for today in the marvelous name of Jesus. Let's stand. Let's stand in closing. You know, there are these lovely verses in the scripture. I want to encourage you, read the Psalms all the time. I have this little scripture here that makes me so happy. It's Psalm 143, verse 11 in the Living Bible. Listen to this. Lord, saving me will bring glory to your name. I always love that little thought. If you help me, Lord, this will give praise to your name. Come on, let's get a real positive mindset about the Lord doing good things for us. Lord, you bring me through this. You bring us through this, Lord. I will let everybody know you did it, Lord. I'll tell everybody. I promise you. I promise. I'll tell everybody. And maybe think about a few people you wouldn't tell. And you tell the Lord, you tell them. And the Lord says, wow, okay, let's have it then. Come on, let's not just live for our own blessings, but let everybody be blessed. If you need Jesus to come into your heart, put your hand on your heart. If you know I'm in sin and I know I shouldn't. I've really gone down and I need you, Lord, help me. Lord, I got myself in a place I shouldn't. Put your hand on your heart and pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of all my sins. Forgive me. Cleanse me, wash me in your blood. I repent, Lord. I turn away from it and I turn to you and I thank you for saving me. Now, Heavenly Father, as we enter into this time here of Christmas where we celebrate it, and I'm so grateful, Lord, that we celebrate it in our country, in the schools and everywhere, that Christ came lowly, humble in a manger to say, hey, I'm here for everyone, even the lowest. I'm here for you, that we may share this love that you're here for us. And we thank you for watching over us and blessing our households and healing and restoring us daily. Thank you, Father, for your goodness through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm sure happy you came tonight. 6:30 is going to be a fabulous time. And if you can make it, sure, try all you can. Have a wonderful Christmas. Virginia and I give you our love. God bless everybody.
Thank you for listening to our message today.
We hope you feel encouraged, blessed, and strengthened for the week ahead. If there's anything you need, anything we can do at all to help and support you, please don't hesitate to contact us by visiting our website at www.lifechurchuk.org.